Was he going down the chimney? Did somebody put him there? Like, how did he get in the chimney?
That's what we're gonna try to find out, bestie.
Okay. Welcome to, what is episode 4?
5, I think.
Is it episode 5? Oh my god, it is. It is, yeah. Episode 5. Wow, guys. We're like halfway through the season.
Whoa.
Queasy. I don't know why I keep doing that. It's because I don't want to say I'm tired of fucking saying So yeah. I'm trying to find a new way to say
The grip that Onar has on me.
Claire Nar.
I can't stop.
Let's see. That's so funny. We were talking about so much stuff and we were like, we have to save it for when we record. And now that we've hit record, I'm drawing a blank. Don't know anything I wanted to talk about.
Well, I've got one.
Okay.
So as we all know, me and Raina are Virgo queens.
Period.
And that means our birthdays are coming up.
Period.
So for my birthday, I decided to treat myself to a very expensive vibrator that I have wanted for a long time.
Very demure.
Very mindful. And the thing that makes it special is that it like connects to an app and it like tracks your orgasm. Right? And like scientific data associated with this. Is it the Virgo? Is it the TISM? We'll never know, but your girl wants to know these things.
First of all, T, love that.
Thank you.
Slay. Second of all, how much is it? Third of all, why do you want to track them?
So, well, for science, obviously. Okay. Just like to know. Like, I'm just curious. Real? Like,
yeah.
I want to know what's going on down there.
Yeah. Okay. Like, you wanted to know her a little better?
Yeah. That's like, good. I just think it's important stuff to, like, know about your body. And I think if my body's doing something, I want to be aware of it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Interesting.
How
does it know?
Great question. I don't really know.
Maybe your heart rate?
I don't know. It's called the Lioness. It's $230.
This is not sponsored, by the way.
No, it's not. I would love it if you gave it to me for free. Because it was $230, but I broke it up into 4 payments.
Okay, period.
So, you know, the little afterpays and all that. Yeah, of course.
Love her.
But because I purchased it, I get emails from this company, obviously. I think it was this company, or it could have been a different one. I just screenshotted the email. It came this morning while I was at work. The title, Hole in One, Why Not Two?
Oh.
With the golf emoji.
Oh, okay.
Then it says, double your fun, finger emoji pointing into peach emoji.
Okay.
Finger emoji pointing into pink flower emoji.
Oh.
Then it says,
pink flowers now.
DP doesn't just stand for Dr. Pepper.
Oh, period.
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
And then it has a photo of a pink donut and a chocolate donut next to each other with two bananas being inserted.
Oh, my God.
It's very graphic.
That is very. They're like, we're going to use emojis to make it less graphic, and then makes it the most graphic emoji combination ever.
Yeah. The picture of the bananas.
Like, and like, yeah, like in the picture of them going in and out, like, that wasn't necessary. We get what you mean.
Yeah. Then it says, let's take a look into double penetration and how you can give it a try, too. So this is from the same website. It says, anal O's versus vaginal O's.
Oh, my God.
This is under you may also like.
Period.
DP data.
Okay. I might also like that. Okay.
So, you know, just a fun little thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't make you curious?
It does. It definitely makes me curious. My interest is piqued for sure. Is it $230 piqued? Not quite sure about that.
Fair. Valid.
Yeah. I mean, I've got like a little knockoff wand. She does the trick. I like her.
You know, it was less less about the vibrator, the vibrator itself, and more about the
getting to know you.
I'm about to be 27. I want to do something a little nice for myself.
Exploration, you know? Age, mature, demure.
Demure.
Mature,
mindful, cutesy. So, you know, it just was really about, oh, I've always wanted to do this and I haven't because it's too expensive. Let me just treat myself a little bit, you know?
And my version of my birthday treat myself is to get my nipples and head tattooed.
So, see,
different strokes for different folks. That's what we're all about here on this show.
What are you tattooing on your nipples again?
I am getting Cyber Sigil hearts.
Oh, so cute.
I know. I'm very excited. I didn't want to do the spider webs. Everybody keeps fucking asking me if I'm doing spider webs. The next person who asks me that, I'm going to look at them and be like, do you really think I am that fucking basic of a bitch? Not that it... Okay,
listen. It's like every if you porn book star it, with tattoos. Yeah,
if you book it and you want it, cool, whatever. It's been done. It's been done so many times. If you get it in a different way, awesome, great, good for you. Love that. I'd love to do it. However, for me, on myself personally, I don't want it. Period. I already have a spider web on my knee. I'm planning to extend it a lot. Hold on. Lou's calling me. Brief break.
Raina did an entire bit, their whole Wendy's order, and it gave me a good giggle.
Lou called me and asked if I wanted anything from Wendy's, and I said, I will take a biggie bag with a burger, with nuggies, and barbecue sauce.
I don't know why, that one just gets me.
I have to do the whole, I have to do it all. I can't just do burger.
Like, yeah, obviously.
I have to be extra. That would be
stupid.
I really wish I remembered what the fuck we were talking about. Man. Anyway, I guess we'll move on. My friends just came to visit from Florida. My friends Sean and Trevor. And that was my first time meeting Trevor. And we had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I got they were lovely.
They were... I love them. I miss them so much. Already, I miss them. And... yeah, it was just really nice. I haven't seen Sean in a couple of years, like I said last episode. So it's very nice to see him again. It was very fun to show him around. And I took him and Trevor to get some wine and charcuterie. And Sean said it was too bougie for him. Because I asked if he wanted to do it the next day because we were walking around downtown again. I was like, we could go to the rooftop bar this time and get charcuterie and wine. And Sean was like, I was like, oh, did you not like it? And Sean was like, no, I liked it. I just don't know if I want to do it again. I just think it was too bougie for me. And I was like, oh, okay. And Trevor was like, I think that's why I liked it.
So then you went full glizzy.
Yeah. And then I took them to Barksdale and I had to give them a glizzy. Yeah. So I had to take them to the home spot and get them a glizzy. And of course, they loved it. We had so much fun.
Oh, for sure.
I did foe up that night, though. Well, I guess that morning. But I didn't foe up the night of the concert. Good and I drank you. A lot more that night. But I did drink a lot more water that day. So, and I did eat a lot more that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very fun. Very draining. Very draining. I didn't realize how draining it is to be a tourist in your own city. Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, I walked around downtown more this past week than I have the entire time I've lived here, and holy shit, my body still hurts.
Downtown is hilly.
Yeah, and we skated twice. Yeah. 2 days out of the whole time that they were there. So
for sure.
And one of the days I was on my board, which I haven't done since my fracture. I haven't cruised on my board since my fracture. So that was grueling.
Yeah, you put your body through it.
Yeah, we skated for like 30 minutes.
Damn.
And then the next day we woke up really early so we could skate with Lou before they had to go to work. So we were up at like fucking 9 a.m. out there skating. And I put my quads on. And it's been like a month since I skated in my quads. So
nice.
I just fucking put my body through it. But that's good because the past couple months have been very lazy. I've been very, very just wanting to stay inside because it's been so fucking hot. I haven't wanted to leave the house really at all, especially not fucking skate. Yeah.
No, God, no.
I have not wanted to skate at all. So now that it's cooling down a little bit, oh my God, the weather this past week was gorgeous.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. I'm so glad it was like that while they were here.
Yeah, sunny with a light breeze.
Sunny with a light breeze. And the warmest it got was like 80 degrees. Perfect. It was very nice. So good. And for them, that's chill because they're used to Florida 98 degree weather.
Ew.
Yeah. I've been playing a new video game lately. Cool. It's called Cult of the Lamb.
Oh, I saw your post about it. That does look cool. If I played video games, I would play it.
It's very cute. It's very stressful, but it's very cute. You get to, it's almost like Stardew Valley, where you have like a town you got to take care of and like a farm and shit. And you have cult members and they're like these cute little animals. And the animation's really cute.
Love that.
And the music's really good. It's fun. But, yeah, so I've just been hanging out, just been chilling. I still don't remember what the fuck we were talking about before Lou called me.
I don't either, bestie.
Should we get started, I guess? Yeah, should we jump right in? Okay, yeah.
Splish splash.
Splish splash. Make your mama laugh. Let's go. I'm a poet.
You hit me with them. You hit me with a zinger. You told me what your hint was, and I'm too stunned to remember it.
Yeah, my hint was me asking, have I done this story before?
Oh, that's right. And the answer being, I don't think so.
Yeah, and you being like, I don't think so. And me being like, I just searched through all the episodes. I don't think I have.
So, you know, if that ever happens, just know we didn't mean to.
Yeah, I guess if this is a repeat, my bad. I looked at all the episodes and I didn't see it. I'm pretty sure I've only covered the one penitentiary with Zach Bagans.
Okay.
So hopefully I haven't covered this one yet. So today I'm going to be talking to you about Moundsville Penitentiary.
Where's that?
It's in Virginia.
Oh.
So, it's a Gothic-style prison located in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Hot.
Sorry, West Virginia. Virginia people will get mad at me for that. My bad, guys. I remember one time I was on the phone. Delaney's from West Virginia. And I was on the phone with one of their friends. We were, like, on a three-way call. And I said something about them being from Virginia. And their friend went, I'm not from Virginia. And I was like, West Virginia, whatever. Sorry.
Oh, no. That's a thing.
Yeah.
So, one of my other friends, Harley, is also from West Virginia and mm-hmm. has stayed overnight in a penitentiary and like a Halloween kind of thing. So I wonder if it's this one.
It's definitely possible.
Definitely possible.
It's now withdrawn and retired from being a prison, obviously. Mm-hmm. It operated from 1876 to 1995.
Whoa, that's pretty recent.
Currently, the site is maintained as a tourist attraction and training facility, and this was the last stop for many murderers, rapists, and thieves.
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun. It was where
You sounded way too excited about that.
Because I get these moments, because I grew up my whole life, I like got dyslexia testing when I was a kid, but we never finished it, so I never got told for sure if I had dyslexia. But I have these moments where I'll be reading and I'll be like, God, fuck. Yeah, I do. I have it. Because I just said most and the word is worst. Mm. And I got the M and I got the M and a W mixed up. Anyway, it was where the worst of the worst were left to rot.
That's a hard sentence.
It is. I wrote it. I did it to myself. They were left to rot, die, or be murdered by fellow inmates.
Oh, shit.
So the whole reason it was made was because in 1863, West Virginia seceded from Virginia to join the Union in the North. Oh, I get it now. I get why they're so mad about it now. And with a new state came the need for, obviously, a new state prison.
Obviously. Duh. First thing.
Next step. Conditions at the prison during the turn of the 20th century were good, according to the warden's report, so who knows the truth? And he stated that both the quantity and the quality of all the purchases of material, food, and clothing have been very gradually but steadily improved, while the discipline has become nearly perfect and the exaction of labor less stringent. So that's a lot of bullshit talk for we use the money you gave us for stuff and it's being used and it's going well.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much what he said.
He did people, like, the most with that.
Yeah. He made a in 1880, whatever, 1860, what year was this? God, let me see. 1863. You think he had a college degree? Was college invented by then?
Yes.
Why was he so smart? In 1863? He sounds so well-spoken.
I mean, that was like Victorian era, you know, they were.
I guess they did start to beef it up a little bit then.
They were long-winded.
That's true. He also, I mean, hey, here's a good point. Education was a priority for the inmates during this time. They regularly attended class. Construction of a school and library was completed in the 1900s to help reform and educate inmates. So it started well.
That's awesome.
However.
There's always a however.
The conditions at the prison worsened through the years, and the facility would be ranked of the United States Department of Justice's top 10 most violent correctional facilities list.
Shit.
One of the infamous rooms was called the Sugar Room by prisoners, and it was where a multitude of illegal gambling, fighting, and murder took place.
Ooh.
No one was safe within these walls, and in 1929, the state decided to double the size of the penitentiary because overcrowding was a problem. Because they were just throwing everybody in jail.
Oh.
By then, I guess. This is when, you know, this was an era where, like, everybody was scared of everybody. Everybody was scared of everything. People were throwing people in jail for no fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
They still thought witches were real, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean,
not, they're real, but, like, they still thought, like, we should be killing witches and shit, like.
Well, in post, you know, post-Civil War, they were looking for a reason to lock up.
Oh, yeah.
Black
they were
people.
Just mad. They were just mad at everything.
So, you know, it makes sense that they were like, oh, let's just throw everyone in here.
Yeah. So the penitentiary had 5 by 7 foot cells.
It's not very big.
Nope. And obviously they were too small to hold 3 prisoners. But until the expansion, there was no other option. So they were shoving 3 prisoners in 5 by 7 foot cells.
That's crazy.
2 prisoners would sleep in the bunks with the third sleeping on a mattress on the floor. Sleepover.
Are you guys really asleep yet?
But like, guys, I'm not tired. Okay. I'm going to try and go sleep. Stop. Okay. Do you think Christy likes me? Yeah, so they would have little slumber parties. The state used prison labor again and completed this phase of construction in 1959. So they used prison labor to expand the prison. So they were building their own prison walls.
What a real kick in the gonads.
Yeah. The construction had been delayed by a steel shortage during World War II. And approximately 36 homicides took place.
Oh, God.
And between 1899 and 1949, one of the more notable ones was the butchering of R.D. Wall, inmate number 44670. On October 8th, 1929, after snitching on his fellow inmates... You guys know what happens to fucking snitches.
Snitches get stitches.
Period. He was attacked, obviously, while heading to the boiler room by 3 prisoners with dull shivs.
Oh, not even sharp ones.
Nope. They had to give it. They had to make it. They had to make it like really painful, obviously.
Obviously, because he was a rat bastard.
He was a fucking snitch. What do you expect? In 1983, convicted murderer Charles Manson requested to be transferred to this prison to be nearer to his family, but his request was denied. 85 men were hung from the gallows at this prison, and the public could attend hangings, which were public until June 19th of 1931. That's crazy.
That's macabre.
1931, you could still watch a fucking public hanging.
That's crazy.
On that day, Frank Heyer was executed for murdering his wife. Good. Good. When the trapdoor beneath him was open and his full weight settled into the noose, he was instantly decapitated.
Oh my God. Like, I knew it could break your neck, but
your head off.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing that could happen. Obviously, because we've never been to a public hanging.
God. This caused the state to rule the hangings as cruel and unusual punishment. They were like, oh, that's not...
Yeah.
We don't... That wasn't fun for the family to witness. Sorry, brief break to eat.
Don't be sorry. Nourish yourself whenever you feel like it.
Period. I'm going to take a sip of this little frosty.
Oh, yeah. Slurp it up.
So, yeah, the last hangman at the penitentiary was inmate Bud Peterson from Logan County. Peterson's family, like many, refused his body, and it went on to be buried at the penitentiary cemetery.
Interesting. God. You could just be like, no, thank you. I don't want
this. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I would want a decapitated husband either.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, you guys... We'll have our own. Yeah, we'll have our own little ceremony, I guess. You can do...
Close casket.
Yeah. So yeah, it was buried at the penitentiary cemetery with the rest of the unclaimed corpses. Beginning in 1951, electrocution became the means of execution. Mm. The electric chair, nicknamed Old Sparky, was used by the prison, was originally built by an inmate there. And his name was Paul's Glen. 9 men were electrocuted before the state prohibited capital punishment entirely in 1965. The original chair is on display in the facility and is included in the official tour. There is a haunting that is especially frightening that occurs within the walls of the Moundsville prison in West Virginia.
Hot.
This particular spirit is commonly referred to as the Shadow Man.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because he most often lurks in the midst of the shadows that cast their shade among the walls. In addition to this, it is said that there are no visible features to witness of this apparition. He seems to be composed entirely of dark, ominous shadow that is highly intimidating. And it's not known who it might be.
Right.
Of because, the people that died there.
Yeah, very ambiguous.
Yeah, so many believe it may be a guard that kept check on cells. And then there are others who believe that this may be an inmate trying to find his way out of the darkness.
Oh, interesting.
Thousands of individuals have been housed at this haunted prison during their lifetime. According to Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures...
Hot.
1,000 of these individuals passed away while being incarcerated at the facility.
God damn.
So a lot of people between like researchers and people who have like stayed there and even just people who have like visited it, it's believed most, if not all, of the deceased spirits linger in and around the penitentiary. So they think most of the people who die there, if not all of them, haunt the grounds.
Okay. So it's like American Horror Story rules.
Yeah. It's like not unusual for someone to personally witness an intimidating apparition, hear a frightening noise, feel as if they're being watched, or for someone to feel as if they are being followed. And to this day, the prison is considered to be one of the most haunted prisons in all of the United States.
Damn.
And there's not necessarily like, I didn't find like a whole lot of like stories that differed from each other. It seems like it's pretty common activity. Like, regular activity. Like they kind of do the same things.
Which I think makes it more credible.
Exactly. I don't know. I find penitentiaries so interesting. I went to a haunted penitentiary in St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Augustine's pretty damn haunted, too.
For sure.
And it just felt strange. It felt really eerie. We went at night. We got, like, a nighttime tour. And it just... It was just such a... And I know they, like, you know, hoke it up for...
Of course.
Tourists and shit. But even when we were just, like, alone in a room, it was like, Like, it just felt strange.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't that bad. I would for sure do it again. And I was like 17 then. So, if anything, I've lived more life.
Oh, yeah.
I should be even less scared now. Also, when Sean was here, this is now the second time this has happened. I have gotten confirmation of my shadow person's existence.
Really?
Because, so the first time it happened, I was at dinner with somebody I no longer engage with. And her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend was talking to me about how she's staying with somebody at the apartment complex that I lived in. Like, she was staying with somebody in that apartment complex. And she said that she's having a really hard time sleeping because there's been this shadow figure that keeps waking her up and stuff like that. And she started describing what he looked like. And I finished describing what he looked like. And she was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, yeah. That's Eddie. I gave him a name. I know you're not supposed to, but he's a very harmless shadow figure. He latched onto me from my ex because they were awful. So, and now they're just kind of exploring. But Sean was telling me a story, or not even Sean. Sean was telling me a story about how when he was working night shifts, he would see shadow figures a lot. And there was one in particular that would wake him up. And there was one time that it, like, got in bed next to him. And Trevor, Sean's boyfriend, was describing what he looked like. And I finished describing what he looked like. And I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You were over at my house a lot around the time that he was the most active. So it makes sense that he, because I didn't see him for a long time until, or even like think about him until I ran into that person's friend talking about him. So I didn't like see him around for a long time. He would mess with me a little bit. He would, when I first moved here, he would make me think Bean was at the tattoo shop all the time. He just really likes to fuck with people. He'll never like hurt you, or he's not like, he's not a malicious figure in any way. He just really, really likes to mess with people. I don't know if maybe he was a child or something. I've never been able to figure out what he could have been in his past life. Part of me feels like he wasn't human.
Yeah.
Like maybe he was a dog or a cat or something and just really likes messing with humans because he likes seeing the reaction and stuff. Like I think he's very curious about how we respond to things.
Very interesting.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, he's like gotten next to me in bed a couple of times, and he used to smack my ex upside the head sometimes. Oh. And he only ever did that to them. I thought that was a normal thing he did, and I was just waiting for it to happen to me one time, and it never happened to me. And as far as I know, from the people I know he's been around, he hasn't done it to them. So
Eddie, please do not come around me. Do not. You haven't so far, and I respect that. Yeah. Let's continue respecting each other from a distance.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knows who to fuck with. And I think that's why he's strayed away from me, is because it's gotten to a point where I'm like, dude, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, fucking leave me alone. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this is now the second time that his existence has been, I guess, confirmed for me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was it was a really crazy feeling to have them talk about that. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, super validating. I was like, oh my God, wait. I was like, I know who that is.
I know him.
Yeah. So that's the story of the Moundsville Penitentiary.
Very spooky. Yes.
We covered a little bit of ghosty. I know it's not that ghosty. Sorry, guys. Ghost stuff scares me.
Yeah. I have to drive home.
Yeah.
In the dark after this. Mm-hmm. So we can't go too hard with it.
You can't go too crazy. Maybe one day we'll plan to record during the day, and that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
A really, really scary one. That's because we are labeled as
spooky,
a true crime and paranormal podcast. Yeah, and we do not cover nearly enough paranormal stuff.
No, we don't.
Although I guess witchcraft is considered paranormal, so.
Yeah, we are paranormal.
Period.
So
we are the weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister. So when I was at Gatlinburg, I fall asleep like super quickly. Mm-hmm. Like by the time my head hits the pillow, like I am asleep in minutes.
Same.
And
Lou hates it.
Yeah, Landon hates it. And so I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh, how'd you sleep? He was like, not good. And
oh,
I was
like,
what? And it was raining. And so I guess the way the rain was like coming out of the gutter or something, or like falling from the spout, the rain thingy, was like very like rhythmic. But he got really scared by it.
Oh,
and he was like,
got put in a trance.
He was like, I thought at one point, what if that's the cat man? And I don't know if I've talked
about the cat man.
I don't know if I've talked about it before. Clearly not, if you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's this TikTok a while ago where this girl was like, I've seen this being. I call him the cat man.
Is that why you got so intrigued by the frog man thing?
Yes. Yes. But she said he like walked on two legs like a man, but had a cat face. And I think that's fucking terrifying. And so whenever me and Landon first started dating, whenever I would drive home, like from your house and stuff, I would call him. I'd be like, I'm usually scared of the cat man.
You know what I've been getting a lot of that's really fucked up, and I really need it to I really need the algorithm to fucking knock it off. I keep getting videos of mimics.
No, don't like that.
Ugh, no. I fucking hate it.
No.
I hate it so much. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Don't like that. That is terrifying. That has made me scared of any noise ever.
I honestly feel like maybe we shouldn't even be talking about this.
We do live in the Appalachia, so maybe we shouldn't.
I thought you were about to say, we do live in a society.
We do. We do truly live in a society.
A society. Well, Bessie, can we, let's,
yeah,
let's smoke.
Yeah,
we let's need to, smoke cleanse.
Yeah, we need to cleanse ourselves after bringing up that shall not be named any longer.
Here's a little witchy thing you can do. You can inhale the smoke and, like, intentionally inhale.
And exhale your.
The good thing. And exhale it out to cleanse your space.
You can also, quick tip, if you don't have anything to smudge with, you can use smoke.
Yeah.
Like you can. I do it all the time when I do readings for people. I'll take a hit and then blow my intention out onto the cards, and I usually get really good readings when I do that.
Yep.
So
you know who else loves weed?
Hmm.
Santa Muerte. So, you know, if you ever want to learn about her and connect with her, and obviously after you do your research and preferably are a Latino, you can take a hit and blow it out for her. She loves that shit.
Period. So does Aphrodite.
Really?
Yeah, she loves when you do that. Huh. My friend in Raleigh, she works with Aphrodite a lot. That's why Anna and I had such a weird connection, is because the first time we hooked up was in front of her altar for Aphrodite.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, she smokes a lot more, or doesn't really smoke a lot more, but, like, she eats edibles and stuff a lot. But when she did smoke, she used to do that a lot, and it would do really, like, every time she would smoke onto her altar, it would do really well. So, I think a lot of the female deities like it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to smoke one out for those gals, so we'll be back.
I'll take a 5 for 5, or a biggie bag, whatever the fuck it is. And I'll do the burger and... Sabrina laughed when I said burger. Burger. I'll take the burger and just regular nugs. Actually, give me spicy nugs. That's true. I lied. Give me the regular. It's because, like, most people get the spicy nugs for the biggie bags, and then they do a whole batch of them and then just fucking leave them there until the next person orders them. Yeah. So, yeah, just get me the biggie bag with the burger and nuggies. Barbecue. I'll text it to you too.
Sick. It's the fact that you said barbecue too.
Biggie bag burger.
Let's get into your story. Let's get juicy with it. What do you want? Why are you, get out of here.
She's all up in your
face. She really just got up in my face like that.
Ooh.
What are you doing? You're going to get comfy real quick? Ooh, yeah.
Get comfy. Make some biscuits.
She does it so fast. I love the efficiency.
Yeah, I feel like my cats, they stand around for a long while.
Bean pitter-patters all over your body for a real hot minute.
And they dig in. Their little paws dig in.
They really know how to pinpoint your fucking pressure points.
Yeah, for
She's not one to dilly-dally. She finds a little comfy pocket, and she gets right in there real fast.
Good for her.
Most of the time, Lou and I won't even notice she's in her lap.
Wow.
We'll just, like, we'll stop doing something and, like, say something to each other, and we'll be like, oh, hey.
Stealthy.
She's just sitting right there, yeah. She's a good lap cat.
Oh.
Anyway.
Continue. So today, I'm going to be talking about the missing persons case of Josh Maddox.
Why do I feel like I know that name?
Have you heard it before?
I don't know. That last name sounds familiar. Maybe I've heard the last name itself before.
Well, I don't know. I hadn't heard of this one before. Mm. And when I did, I was like, oh, gotta cover that one.
Period.
Because it's juicy.
Ooh, we love a good juicy story.
So Josh Maddox was born on March 9th, 1990, and grew up in Woodland Park, Colorado. His parents were divorced, and Josh lived with his father and older sisters, Kate and Ruth. He was a free spirit with long hair who loved the outdoors.
Ooh, okay. Jacob.
He's very cute. His sisters described him as creative, intelligent, and outgoing. But when Josh was 16, on June 1st, 2006, his 18-year-old brother, Zachary, committed suicide right before he was supposed to graduate.
Oh, no.
And this took a toll on, like, the whole family, but especially Josh, because he really looked up to his older brother. Very sad.
Yeah.
On the morning of May 8th, 2008, so 2 years later, Josh told his family he was going for a walk alone, and that was, like, pretty typical for him to just kind of hike, go out, do his own thing, wander around. However, that day, Josh never returned home.
Oh, no.
His father, Mike, called all of Josh's friends, and no one had seen him. So on May 13th, so like 5 days later, his family reported him missing.
Oh, my God. It took 5 days?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was 18. He kind of was known to, like, go off on his own and stuff. They, you know, were but just calling around. But to go
for
around. A walk
for days?
Yeah, but they, you know, they were calling around, like, hey, have you seen him? Have you seen him? Josh had told his family before that he wanted to have a great and great adventure and might leave suddenly without them one day.
Oh, okay.
So they just kind of assumed, like, after, you know, a while of him not coming back, they were like, okay, he's kind of just gone off. He's doing his own thing. He's making his own way.
Yeah.
Over the years, his family looked at homeless shelters and campgrounds, all the while expecting Josh to return home one day, perhaps with his own family.
Oh.
Yeah, his sisters, one of his sisters, like, always said, you know, she expected him to come back one day with, like, a wife and kids and be like, this is my family. So, you know, especially with being, like, depressed over his brother committing suicide, he just, he was a free spirit, you know?
Okay.
In a local newspaper, his sister Kate once wrote, "Since Josh was 18, it has been reasonable to assume he may have decided to leave town to start a new life. As one of his two older sisters, I have always chosen to believe that this was the case. I have expected Josh to return home to my father's house at any time with a wife and small children so that they can meet their grandparents and two aunts. Josh has always been known for his musical and literary talent, so maybe we would find him playing music with a band on tour. Or catch him writing successful novels under a pen name so that he could keep his preferred lifestyle of solitude in the woods."
Hmm.
So he was a hippie.
Okay.
7 years after Josh's disappearance, a local developer named Chuck Murphy was demolishing an old cabin nearby to make room for new housing developments. Chuck purchased the cabin in the 1950s when it was the homestead of Thunderbird Ranch, where illegal drinking, gambling, and prostitution took place.
Okay.
Until the FBI arrested its former owner.
Whoa.
Very cool, very slay. Chuck's brother lived in the cabin until 2005, but in the 10 years since, it was rarely visited and mostly just used as storage.
Mm-hmm.
On August 7th, 2015, they began demolishing the cabin. They noticed a strong stench, but figured an animal had died in the house somewhere.
Oh, no, no.
Yep. However, once workers dismantled the chimney, they found the body of a young man in the fetal position with his legs above his head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, like, he got stuck in the chimney?
Yeah. So, he went down, like, head first.
Oh, my God.
His feet were, like, on top. But because of, like, how he was placed inside the chimney, his torso was all mummified.
Whoa.
But his bottom, like, his legs were skeletons.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Very weird.
So, like, was he going down the chimney? Did somebody put him there? Like, how did he get in the chimney?
That's what we're gonna try to find out, bestie.
Okay.
Chuck called the police and the county coroner.
Coroner.
The county coroner identified the remains as Josh Maddox with the help of his dental records.
Whoa.
The cabin was only 2 blocks from Josh's house.
What?
But nobody checked it when they were searching for him because it was abandoned. And they assumed he was, like,
out in the woods, and if they were worried something happened, like maybe it was a hiking accident, like fell or something. So they weren't looking for in the cabin.
You wouldn't want to check just in case, bro? Like, what?
Mm-hmm. But on the odd occasion that Chuck did go to the cabin, he said it didn't smell out of the ordinary before, which is interesting. When they did the autopsy, it was noted that they couldn't tell if Josh had any drugs in his system. I guess because it had been so long. Yeah. This is 7 years.
That makes sense.
But he had no broken bones, no bullet holes, no knife wounds, nothing.
Huh.
So it was believed that he died either from hypothermia or dehydration.
Hmm.
Even though it was May, like, it's in Colorado, yeah. So the temperatures were, in 20 degrees.
Yeah.
So pretty cold. Starvation would have taken, like, way too long.
Mm-hmm.
So it was either those two things. The county coroner ruled his death accidental and concluded that he had gone into the chimney voluntarily and became stuck, and no one could hear him yell for help.
Okay, I guess?
If you're feeling confused, bestie, that's okay, because so was Chuck.
Okay, yeah.
When he heard that it was ruled an accident, Chuck called the police and was like, no, it's not an accident. You should open this case back up, because he had installed a metal grate at the top of the chimney to keep animals out. If it was still there or not, they don't really know, because they were in the process of demolishing the cabin, and they had already, like, taken out all the metal pieces, like, first.
Mm-hmm.
So unsure of whether or not that grate was still there. But he couldn't have gotten into the chimney if it was still there.
Yeah.
There was also, inside the cabin, a breakfast bar that had been torn from a wall and moved in front of the chimney.
Oh.
But they also don't know when it was placed there.
Yeah.
Chuck said he did notice it one of the times he went, but just was like, yeah, oh well.
Yeah, it's, we're going to demolish cares. It.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody's there, whatever.
I mean, I could see... somebody, I could see, like, a houseless person squatting there and moving the counter to, like, cover up the stench, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. Also, right next to the fireplace on the inside were Josh's clothes, which were folded up.
Oh, okay.
He was actually found in just a thin thermal undershirt.
Okay.
Like, not even underwear. So that
maybe changes the counter theory.
People around town, there was, like, a rumor about Josh hanging out, and a Reddit post that went pretty viral, of Josh hanging around a guy named Andy before he went missing.
Ooh.
And Andy was kind of, like, in and out of mental institutions, okay. But did end up doing time. He did crime.
And then he did time.
He was arrested for a stabbing.
Oh, so yeah. Not like a minimal, yeah, not like a small crime.
Yeah, and he's probably responsible for, like, another, for, like, a murder, but, like, police didn't have enough to charge him.
Oh.
And he did tell people that he put Josh in a hole.
Oh, okay. So, admitting guilt. All right.
Yeah. However, police said that there was no evidence that he was actually in Woodland Park at the time of Josh's disappearance. And a bunch of people said, like, oh, yeah, he was, like, seen with him before he died. But, like, anytime he tried to get, like, specifics, like, okay, where, when, yeah, on what day, like, nobody could give him a straight answer. They didn't really look that hard into him. So as of now, his cause of death is undetermined, because after they opened the case back up, they, instead of one option, because the first one was accidental,
mm-hmm,
they said it was either accidental, homicide, or undetermined.
Okay.
They did not think it was natural or suicide.
I mean, yeah, that would, yeah.
Right.
But those three options are still very vague.
Very wide. Very wide. The coroner's most likely explanation is that Josh might have had drugs in his system.
Okay.
Yeah,
because when you say hole, I think either the chimney or, like, a K-hole.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that he got into the cabin because he had hypothermia, or was beginning to have hypothermia, already. Mm-hmm. So typically what happens when you get hypothermia is there is a stage where people will go through where they start to feel uncomfortably hot. Oh. And they like remove their clothing.
Yeah.
So that could explain his clothes being folded up next to the fireplace.
Okay. But how did he get feet first? Or feet up?
So
did he do like a fucking handstand?
So definitely he'd have to have gone in the house, removed his clothes, gone outside, gotten on the roof, and then gone down. But another thing that hypothermia victims experience is the want to be in a small covered space.
Okay.
Like a cave almost.
But why not just like get into the fireplace and put something in? Like, why do you have to get up in it?
No idea. But his family is like, no, Josh didn't do drugs.
Well,
yeah, everybody says that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if he was in a K-hole.
Yeah.
That could definitely be.
And hypothermic. Right. Yeah.
That could explain for things. And I mean, ketamine's also used to treat depression.
Yeah. And you can't, I mean, it had been 7 years until they found him. There's no way they would have found it in his system still to know.
Right. Damn. Did Raina just solve this unsolved case?
I'm sure I'm not the first person to think of that. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Because, like, when you said that he was in and out of mental institutions, I was like, okay, he might have been into drugs, especially if he was doing crime and, like,
yeah,
you know, hurting people and stabbing and stuff like that. He could have said, I put him in a hole, meaning, like, yeah, he got in a fucking K-hole when we did ketamine together and, like, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
It could have also been him admitting that he just fucking killed a guy or something. Or he could have done drugs, passed out, panicked, threw him in the fucking chimney or something. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Because I don't know. The one thing that doesn't explain is the bar getting moved.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if he went up and died, whether it be because he was hypothermic and, you know, that whole theory, or whether it was he was on drugs mm-hmm. and going a little crazy, or he was murdered and put in there. If somebody later came and squatted, because yeah. it had been 7 years, if somebody True. Later came and squatted, they could have done that, like I said, to cover up the smell.
True.
Because even by the time the contractors had gotten there, they were like, it stinks.
Yeah.
So it's like, it still stunk.
Right.
And if they had come in a little while after the murder, it wouldn't have stunk that bad because it hadn't been festering that long. Mm-hmm. So maybe that counter was enough to cover up the smell, or at least block it from entering the rest of the facility or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think like a criminal. Like,
right. Yeah, there's just so many weird things in this case that like don't add up, because what about the metal grate?
Yeah.
Did he take that out first and then climb through there?
Like, yeah,
it just kind of doesn't, like, none of it makes sense.
And how were there not animals that got stuck in behind him if the grate wasn't there?
Yeah, good point.
Because how did an animal not smell him and go down there and try to get to him and also get stuck, unless he fell not that far down enough that they could climb their way out? But there's very few animals that I could think of that would be wide enough to yeah. like crawl up the walls,
yeah,
or grippy enough, unless it was a bird maybe. But
I don't know, it's a good point. This one makes you think.
Yeah, it does. That's really crazy.
Yeah. And I really do feel so sad for the family, because yeah.
to lose
two children and to have the hope that he would come back.
Yeah,
because I think more than most missing persons, like, he was the kind of person that would do that,
yeah,
but then would return yeah. at some point. And even telling them, like, I'm probably gonna do this. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he probably was planning to do that,
yeah,
like, he probably was planning to just go on an adventure and start a new life, and that's why he left in the first place.
And the whole time he was two blocks away.
That's the craziest part. Stuff like that always, ooh, that always like sends such a weird feeling in me, because it's like, I don't know, one, unexplained cases, like, unexplained findings of bodies is, like, always just so to me. Like, the mm-hmm. Black Dahlia, it's one of my,
I don't want to say favorite cases because that makes it sound weird, but like it's one of the first cases that got me really intrigued into mm-hmm. like true crime and stuff. I don't know. I have a thing. It's like the fucking show Mindhunter. I'm like, I want to know how these fuckers work. Like, yeah. I just want to understand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I think it's just because it's so unnatural to us to be that like primal of like murdering people and stuff like that. That it's like, I want to understand how that happens and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
That's so crazy. God. Well, rest in peace. I don't know if a life of legacy is what you wanted, but hopefully that was a grand adventure.
Yeah.
Of being remembered by people for centuries because, yeah, that's definitely going to be a case that sticks with me, I think. Mm-hmm. That kind of hits me like the Bryceless piece of peace.
So that's what, it really case. Gave me the same vibes and that's yeah. why I wanted to talk about it.
Because it's just like strange doings and disappearances and mm-hmm. findings and just like vanishing almost.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that also makes me question like timeline stuff. Because I'm like, what if they just went back to their timeline or to a new timeline or what? Like, I don't know. It could get really crazy with it, but.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm into crazy.
You want to get even crazier and do a reading?
Yes, please. I've needed one.
So we've decided, sorry guys, last minute decision. I know we're halfway through the season, but. We decided that we're just going to switch to doing tarot readings because I personally have just been feeling a really big connection to tarot reading lately. And I don't know, I have a lot of, I feel like I have a lot more fun doing those than the spells. I still do like spells and maybe that's something we'll offer on our Patreon.
Yeah, like when we see one that we vibe with.
Yeah, and we'll do like little tutorials or videos to go with it and like showing you how we do it and stuff like that. Maybe that's something we'll include on our Patreon. That actually sounds kind of fun.
That does sound fun.
I just feel like spells are so much better when you can like witness them, I guess. Like see kind of what goes into it and kind right. of feel the vibe for a little sure. bit better than like just listening to us tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let me go grab some cards and we'll do a little reading for you.
Reyna is shuffling the cards as we speak. It's very satisfying. The edges of this deck are all gilded like blue and purple. It is gorgeous. And the designs are very, very cute. What's the name of this deck?
This is the Beautiful Creatures Tarot. Ooh. This is the second edition, and it's by J.R. Rivera, and the artwork is by Jasmine Beckett Griffith. It's a gorgeous fucking deck. It is one of the nicest decks I have as far as like how they tell me everything. This deck is pretty kind, but also very straightforward.
Love that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just always had a really deep connection with this deck since I first got it. It's a fucking gorgeous deck. It's still, like, in really good condition. Like, there's, like, almost no wear on these cards, and they're my most used cards.
They very much remind me of you.
Yay. That's good to know. And nice to hear. Okay, hold on. Let me finish. I wanted to hit that so I can.
Thank you. You're welcome. Reyna is cleansing the cards with their smoke. It's beautiful to witness.
I love doing that. It makes me feel so ethereal.
You look ethereal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see. How many cards do you want to pull?
I don't know. It's up to you.
And what kind of reading do you want? Do you want like a general reading? Do you want a love reading? Do you want work reading? Do you want social reading?
Let's do a general reading. Okay. I want to see the vibe. I've got a lot of things buzzing around, but I think just, get the vibe.
First card I pull is Three of Wands.
Okay.
Oh, Five of Wands. Sorry. I couldn't see that. I'm blind. So this card represents a process of debate. You're debating for something that you want very badly or change that you want to make in your life for the greater good. Remember, by engaging in a competition, you are not fighting, nor should you be hurting other people or yourself. Put your skills to the test in order to obtain all that you've been longing for with a clean strategy and with a clear mind.
Okay.
Second card is the Wheel, and that is the cover Ooh. Of The deck. It's the main one of the deck. This card pertains to having lack of being lucky regarding so many things and aspects in your life. But at the same time, it could pertain to karma. What goes around comes around. In many instances, it indicates taking a chance on something new, something unfamiliar, in order to gain a new foundation for luck. It can also represent that something is going to change for the better, depending on the circumstances and how your past actions have been portrayed and played out. Don't forget that changes happen no matter what. These changes could be personal, spiritual, physical, and or emotional. So that kind of goes back to the first card that we pulled.
Yeah, it does.
Of saying something that you've wanted to happen really badly is possible to happen as long as you play clean and do it clearly with the right intentions and everything. So that's good. That's a good sign. It means like everything's kind of coming back together. All right. Next one is Ten of Pentacles. Oh my God. This card is gorgeous. I fucking love that card.
Oh, hot.
This card represents a state of being physically or financially secure. So once again, pulling back the last couple cards, you've done a good job investing your priorities and time. You now have everything you care for well secured. The current state of being and health regarding your family is a very good one. An inheritance from a beloved family member will come to you soon. Bond with your family members. There's an abundance to look forward to. You're passing forward a legacy.
Okay.
So you're doing good.
You know, I think this is about buying a house.
Yeah?
Because I am very motivated to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying very hard to get to the space where I'm able to do that. And I'm close.
Yay.
I'm close. Cause
good.
I want to have a little bit of land, you know? I want to have something to give on. I want to have a legacy.
Period. And you're doing it. Let's pull one more for good measure.
Sweet.
Six of Wands. This card represents an achievement that deserves a celebration. You have accomplished something good in your life, like a promotion or a raise at work. You have gotten something you have been anticipating for a very long time.
It's a little premature. It's premature.
Past, present, future, baby.
Yep. True. I already have the house. That's the mindset.
Okay.
That's the manifestation.
Yeah, mindset. That's how you have to do it. Yeah. You have to wake up every day and say, I'm living in my house. Mm-hmm. When you do your manifestations, you have to act like you're in the future. Be like, I'm waking up in the morning in my own house, on my own property.
So true.
In my dream home, I'm putting on my slippers and I'm walking and saying good morning to the cats in their bedroom.
Oh, you're painting a lovely picture, bestie.
You know, drinking my coffee or my morning tea and I'm smoking my J on my porch. Oh, and my cats are in the catio next to me. And I go inside and I get ready for work and I look super cute and I don't even have to try. And I
wow, you're spoiling me.
You displayed hard work and dedication and now you are being recognized for it. In some instances, this card could also mean that you've gone as far as possible to prove someone who doubted you wrong.
Ooh.
That's the one you needed to hear. That's why it hit you hard last.
Yeah, if only.
You are, though. Thank you. In just your existence, you are proving anybody wrong.
Thank you.
So, anybody who's ever doubted you, you're proving them wrong just by being here. So,
right on.
There's that.
You too.
So, yeah, that's this week's episode, you guys. And if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, you want to tell us some gossip, you want to tell us you hate us, you want to tell Hunter he's doing a bad job, don't.
He's not.
Great. He's doing a great job.
We love you, Hunter.
Yeah. If you want to do any of that, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com.
Tell us if you do any of the spells we've suggested.
Oh, yeah. And tell us if any of the readings we've done, either for ourselves or just our general readings that we'll do sometimes, if they've resonated for you. And if you like our decision to just keep doing tarot readings. And if you want to see pictures of all the things that we do and promos and previews and more info on our Patreon as it comes together, I know we keep saying that every episode, but this shit for some reason is like complicated, you guys. So we have to like plan it out so we can make sure we're giving you good content, especially if we add tiers that you pay for, because then we don't want to give you crap that you don't want to pay for. Who the fuck wants to do that?
We're thorough.
Exactly. We're Virgos and we're autistic.
Give us a break. Cut us some slack.
Yeah. But if you want to see all that stuff and information and everything, you can follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's everything. So I guess Just remember to light up
and look out.
And we love you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.